Their school started in January, and I thought, this is great. I can go down, I can help with random stuff as we go and get prepared for this school, and then we'll do it, and it's going to be great. And then the school was postponed, and I thought, oh, crap. This is not what I was planning on at all. And so the school actually didn't happen until the following October. So this past October, we started it. And so I had been there a full year before I actually did what I thought I was going to. And during that year, I was extremely frustrated. I had no idea. I was like, God, why the heck did you put me here? What is going on? I'm not necessarily understanding what my purpose is. I don't know. I know you called me here. I know I'm supposed to be here for a reason. What is it? And it's a lot of just waiting on God and just wondering, what is your plan? What is the overall plan going on here? And God made it very clear as the DTS started in the fall. We went through a leadership transition, and a lot of jobs got moved around, and I was, given lots of opportunities to work in all sorts of different things. One of my personal highlights was our accounting needed to be transitioned, and in a random conversation I was having with the person who was in charge of it, they jokingly asked, hey, I'm done with this. You want to take over the accounting? And I said, that's what I went to college for. I would very much like to do that. And, it's just so great to see how God fulfilled and just keeps his promises, and just seeing the overall plan of what he has. It's been good.
I told you I wouldn't hit you with any unscripted questions, but I'm going to do it anyway. So there's a sermon in this. You know, God put you in this waiting season where you kind of had a picture of what was going to happen, and it wasn't happening. And that was frustrating. My guess is there's probably more than one or two people here that you might be right at that spot this morning where you kind of had a plan, you kind of had a layout, and it isn't working for whatever reason, and it seems almost like God has put a stop sign in front of you. So just in a few sentences, what would you say to someone in that place? Like, what did you do in that time? Obviously, it was frustrating, but what got you through? I mean, you didn't come home, you stuck it out. What got you through the year-long wait of really waiting to see what God wanted to do?
Oh, my. A lot of things. I kind of lucked out a little bit. I had amazing people in my life to help me work through random struggles and difficulties that were going on. Just as hard as it is just seeking God in everything and the big and the small, the times that things are going great and the times that they aren't. I think that's the time where, I don't know, where I hear God most powerfully is when I'm struggling. It feels like the world's crashing down around me, and I'm like, all right, God, I don't know. I give up. I don't know what to do anymore. But that's kind of God's testimony in my life, and it's very... very continual testimony that keeps kind of popping up, but yeah.
And those are the times you really press into here because you're desperate. Like, God, I have to hear from you. So many of us are aware that part of missions is support. For you to do what you're doing, you need a team of people around you that are financially enabling you to do what you're doing. So just give us a little snapshot. I know you've been raising support. You have some people supporting you regularly. But that is an ongoing need for you. So just give us a little snapshot of that.
Okay. Yeah, support's always an interesting thing. So I guess overall things aren't terrible. I am trying to increase my monthly support base a little bit here and there. I'm probably about $100 short of what I should be every month, trying to keep up with bills and things. And then there's a new opportunity that God has given us in St. Croix to start a prayer room that we have. We'd love to get general vision, backstory behind this, is we would like to see a prayer room that is 24/7 throughout the Caribbean. Now, there's no YWAM base in the Caribbean that is big enough to house that, and so our goal is to do it online through the internet and everyone take such and such a section, such and such a time. And so in all of this, I've been given the opportunity to go to Barbados, which is actually, I'm leaving here on Sunday to go and do that. I'm going to go attend a conference there. We're going to talk more specifically, pray into the vision of our prayer room, see what we want it to look like, how we want it to function, and then get into the nuts and bolts, the knit and grit, and just find out how we want it to actually work. So that is not financed by anyone at this point. So I'm still about $1,100 short, but I'm trusting in God for that one. So yes.
All right. So you'll find Raymond's information, his newsletter, out on our new missions board in the lobby. If you haven't looked at that, please check that out. Raymond mentioned something about monthly support. I know one-time gifts are always a blessing. Yes. Any kind of support is a blessing. One-time gifts are such, and also monthly regular support is tremendously helpful because it helps Ray to kind of budget and to have an expected income on a month-by-month basis. So God may be calling some of you in that regard as well. So let me pray for you. Father, thank you for Ray and just for the way that you're working in his life, the things that you're showing him on the mission field, the way that you are using him to bless many people. God, just this sort of little quote, coincidental thing, which we know there are no coincidences with you, but him being able to step into the accounting role there and to use some of the training he's received for that, just a fit there where you're using him in that way. And God, also, I know his heart for worship and the way you're using him in the prayer room. We pray for that. God, that new venture, as they're praying into that vision and seeking you, God, we ask for your wisdom and your direction in that as well. And we pray for Ray's health. We pray for this upcoming trip to Barbados and for the financial need there, God. We just lift that up to you, trusting in your provision. And for all things in Ray's life, continue to bless him. Help him to walk in submission and surrender to you as you continue to reveal all that you have for him and ways that you want to use him. So we ask your blessing on him this morning, and we again just release him and bless him back into that mission field. Come next weekend, go ahead of him, God. Use him mightily through the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Thanks, Ray. All right. Okay. Now, Greg, I'm going to turn it over to you. I've asked Greg to share a message this morning on the Holy Spirit. Up here? Okay. Let me get the podium over here. All right. Let me just pray for you, and you can share what the things the Lord has placed on your heart this morning. God, as we continue in this current focus on you in spirit form, God the Spirit living in us, God, I don't know that we'll ever really be able to wrap our minds around that, but we are so thankful the word is clear. Your word is clear that beginning at Pentecost, you have come to dwell inside of believers. And we want to continue to learn and grow in that and learn all the ways that we can release you in your power. And I know that's what Greg is going to talk about this morning. So I pray that you would speak through him. Anoint him, Holy Spirit, as he talks about you. And open our ears, our minds, our hearts to receive from you, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you. Well, good morning, everyone. Did you hear what Raymond said? This really got my attention. He said, seeking God for everything. Those are good words. Seeking God for everything. And then at another point in the conversation, he said that he basically didn't know what to do. He came to the end of himself. He was ready to just give up. That's a good place to be. That's really a good place to be. Because that, when we're at a point of surrender, that's where we get God's attention. Then God can take it from there. So I want you to remember that word surrender, give up, you know, and there's other words that'll come to your mind throughout the message, hopeless, and relationships, and what do I do, and I haven't figured it out on my own strength, and, you know, and those are good places to be because God wants to take over, take over. This morning we have, when Pastor Ron called me and asked, and I said, well, if I had a choice, I'd like to preach in Holy Spirit power. I want to make it simple this morning. That's just the way I am. After high school, I had 8 years of schooling after high school. So I was in classes a lot of different professors and everything. But I'm not going to use these big words. I'm just going to make it simple so everyone can understand. That, why make it complicated? When you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, now if you're sitting there and you haven't taken that step, then that's the first step. Because life, the abundant life, is all about a relationship with Jesus. We've got to have a relationship with Jesus. That's our hope. He's our Savior. Those of you who have received Jesus Christ as your Savior, you receive from God the free gift of salvation. And you receive from God His Holy Spirit who dwells inside of you. That's a free gift. That's the Spirit of God dwelling inside of every believer. It's a free gift. We've got the Spirit of God inside of us. Every place we go, we have God with us. His Spirit is with us. There's different scriptures I'm going to read. We've got them up here. Ephesians 1:13, it says, "And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in Him with a seal." And here's what the seal is: the promised Holy Spirit. So there we have it. God said, "You'll receive the Holy Spirit." In John 14:16-17, Jesus said, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another counselor to be with you forever." Say forever. Forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him. That is, for those who have received Jesus as their Savior, Jesus saying, "But you know Him, for He lives with you and is in you." Say, in you. In you. In Romans 8:9, the Bible says, "You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit." Sometimes we give up on the Spirit. Did you know that? We give up on God, and then the sinful nature takes over, and God wants to bring us back. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. In 1 John 4:13, the Bible says, "We know that we live in Him and He in us because He has given us of His Spirit." In Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." We get nowhere when we're, you know, just focusing on the flesh and doing things against God. We get no place. But the gift of God, it's a free gift. He offered it to us. The gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Think about this truth with me. We have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. Inside of us. It's simple, and yet we make it so complex. The abundant life is not meant to be difficult to understand. Am I making sense? God has a simple message for all of us. We all need Jesus. We all need the Lord. And we all have the Holy Spirit to remind us of a need for God. As believers, we must not forget this or ignore this truth. Each day, it is extremely important to ask God for His help. Each day. Say each day. Each day. So this week, when you go through this week, remember the words each day. Say it again. Each day. We need God's help. We can't do it on our own. I have a lot of t-shirts where I tried to do it on my own, and I didn't make it. I know what it's like to just go through a day and wonder what happened and then realize I didn't connect with God. It's not profitable. Each day, we must let Him know that we are willing to surrender our way for His way. The Bible talks about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. It's another Holy Spirit experience, and a lot of people, when this happens, they speak in tongues, and there's all kinds of things that happen. I've seen it. I mean, it's exciting. It's basically our desire that we want more of God, and whatever it takes, we want more of God. It's being filled with the Holy Spirit. People have prayed for God's anointing upon them. An anointing. We need God's anointing upon our lives. As parents, as grandparents, as individuals who are walking with the Lord, we need God's special anointing upon our life. I've been a pastor for 28 years, so I've maybe someday my wife and I will write a book. I don't know. Maybe she'll write it, and I'll just do a spell check and go through it and see how it. But anyway, people have told us over and over, you ought to write a book. But I'm too busy working with people because I know that people need the Lord. And people need a life-changing experience. I've seen and experienced a lot of God moments and miracles. I've seen them. I've seen God just come in and take over. One fact of all revivals is that people are praying at the feet of Jesus. They're devouring the Word of God. They're worshiping the King of Kings, and they're allowing the Spirit of God to empower them each new day. You study revivals. I'll share a little bit about revivals. It all begins with that. That's the beginning of revival. It involves the presence of God to enter each day-to-day walk with Jesus. Our day-to-day walk with Jesus, we must have the presence of God to help us. Otherwise, we're just going through motions. And I don't know where you're at. At the end, I'll have a time that you can come forward, and whatever it is, your relationships, your walk with Jesus, you need more of the Holy Spirit in your life. Whatever it is, I just want to let you know that the altar is going to be open, because I believe that God wants to do something special in your life. I don't just have a hold on this. I'm excited about God, but it's not just for me. It's for everyone. It's for the whole body. God wants to move in this body. We prayed and we talked about a river, a clear river. And God wants that river to flow through here this morning. Whatever it takes. I don't know where you're at, but I do know that you need more of God in your life, because I do too. We all need more of God in our life. And whatever that means. Too many people go through the motions. I was there too. And I have to watch myself, because I'll get back in that rut going through the motions and trying to do things my way instead of God's way. But the only way to be successful in Jesus is to do things God's way. That'd be a good time for an amen. Anyway, each new day. By the way, when was the last time you said, "More of you, Lord, and less of me"? We have that in John 3:30. He must become greater, and I must become less. Now we say, yeah, I agree with that, but sometimes we go through life, and we're acting as if we're greater, and God, if I need you, I'll let you know. That's not the way God wants us to operate. He wants us to be full of Him, so that when we go through each day, He will give us our marching orders. He will tell us to turn left or right, talk to this person or that person, pray for this person or that person. I mean, my wife and I this week were just sitting in a restaurant, and a lady came up to us. She was so excited, and she asked me, she said, Pastor Greg, would you pray for this? I haven't seen her for a long time. She said, would you pray for my neighbor? Because she really needs the Lord. She's going through a difficult time. I said, I will. And we did. You never know when you're walking with the Lord, God brings all these people into your life. And don't tell me you're too busy. Because God, I mean, Jesus, if anybody was too busy, He was too busy. So He's got that t-shirt. He knows what it's like. We must have time for Jesus in our life. Because when He shows up, things change. It's worth it all. John 3:30 involves thirsting for more of God and His presence in our life each day. Now I'm going to do something this morning. I'm just going to ask that you would close your eyes, and I'm going to just pray a simple prayer, what I'm talking about, how you can apply this, and then we're going to move on. So would you just close your eyes and pray this with me? If you want to pray it out loud, you can, or in your heart, pray it in your heart. Father, take over in my life today. I want people to see Jesus in me today. I choose to be your servant today. By an act of my will, I am dependent on you today. Please, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit today for the work you are calling me to do. I surrender my will to your will. I choose to have a spirit of brokenness. Help people, Lord, that I encounter today to see the love of Jesus flowing through me. Amen. A simple prayer that will get us on track with God, that will help us understand the heart of Jesus, that he hung out with his Father and he said in the Bible over and over, I only do what my Father wants me to do. I only do the will of my Father. In your Bible, would you turn with me to Acts chapter 1? Acts chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 1 through 8, and then we're going to go to Ephesians 3. First of all, Acts chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, "Do not leave Jerusalem." But wait, I'm going to give you a parenthesis here. We heard about waiting. Going around the wall of Jericho, waiting 7 times, waiting for the wall to fall down. Waiting, that's a good word for the believer, waiting. Raymond talked about waiting on God. Just keep that word in your memory bank. But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For God baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? We'll stop there and come back to that. Now if you skip over a few books in the Bible, New Testament, Ephesians 3, and Paul has a prayer for the Ephesians, but it's also for us. Ephesians 3, beginning with verse 14. In the Bible, Ephesians chapter 3, beginning with verse 14, Paul said, "For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power." There we have the word power again. "Together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." That's basically people full of God. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power," there we have that word power again, "according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen." Boy, just take all that in. All that God wants for us in Paul's prayer. I must move on. I could just spend a lot of time on that right there. But let's move on. In our text, Holy Spirit power requires 5 things. The first one in your bulletin, you can fill them in and add some other things. I mean, those are yours to take with you. The reality of Holy Spirit power. In our text, it says, "Do not leave, but wait for the gift my Father promised, and you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Someone gave me a note one time at the Columbia Community House of Prayer. When I was there, they would write things down and give me notes and different things, and this note I kept. And he said in the note, "The power of a praying city lies in the brokenness of a praying leader." Let me repeat. "The power of a praying city lies in the brokenness of a praying leader." When we're broken before God, we're in complete surrender. "Lord, what do you want for my life? I don't want to go through the motions." In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "Blessed are those who do hunger and thirst for..." Well, "for they will be filled." Filled, completely filled. I don't know about you, but I continue to want more of God. I just want more. I'm not satisfied. I usually come to a meeting or whatever with a spirit of expectancy. Expectancy. Say expectancy. Expectancy. That's a good word. We don't just come, "Oh, well, another Sunday." No. We want God to show up. We want God to minister. We want God and His Holy Spirit to do His work in our midst, because we want to have the fire of God, the fire of the Holy Spirit, to take with us in the week. Because this is only Sunday, and we have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday to keep the flame going for all that God wants for us. And then we come back, and Sunday is meant to be a time of celebration. This is what God did in my life this week. This is what's happening in my life this week. I was in the business world many, many years, and I saw all kinds of things. I was pumping gas one time at a Minute Market gas pump, just doing my own business. Guy came up to me, a businessman. He shared his whole life with me, and I thought, well, who am I? You know, I didn't ask for this. And he was sharing all kinds of things, and I thought, whoa, this is exciting. And on I can go. Sometimes God shows up when we least expect Him. And then we're there, and we have that God moment. Every believer must come to the end of themselves, experiencing brokenness. I'm going to repeat some things this morning on purpose, because I want you to get, as a teacher, I want you to get some things. You know, I don't want you to say, "Oh, I didn't hear that." No, I want you to say, "Boy, I heard that two or three times." You're with me then. Every believer must come to the end of themselves experiencing brokenness before they can effectively be used by the Lord. Your strengths are not the important thing to God. Not your strengths. The important thing to God is He wants your willingness and availability. When I was guidance counselor at a high school, the prospective employers were telling me, "We don't care how much a person knows, just that they're ready and willing to be used and learn from us." That's what they wanted. That's what God wants. Are you teachable? Are you willing to allow me to teach you and help you to increase your faith? See, life is a faith adventure. And I emphasize adventure because I don't know how many times my wife and I look at each other and we say, "Boy, we never, in 28 years of ministry, we never did this before," and there we are. There we are. And crying out to God saying, "Lord, I don't know what to do. I wasn't taught this in school. I have no idea what to do. I need your help." Those are good words to God. I need your help. Those are good words to God. Whatever situation you're in, those are good words to say to God. I need your help. I need your help today. Help me, Lord. I need you. Each one of us must depend upon God, because without the Holy Spirit, we are wasting our time and energy. We're just functioning in the flesh. We're doing what we think we should do instead of what God wants us to do. See, after God speaks to us, then we have a decision to make. Obey God or disobey God. We can't ride the fence. Obey or disobey. "But Lord, are you sure? Now I need another sign. I need something else. Are you sure you want me to do that?" If God spoke to you and you sense that you need to call this person and encourage them or write them a letter or, visit someone, then it's probably God. Because if it's not the Holy Spirit, if it's not God, you'll know. you'll know. The Holy Spirit bears witness to what God is doing in our life. A church without the Holy Spirit is a powerless church. No programs can be substituted for God's presence. Being in the presence of God is the most significant thing you can do all week. The most significant thing. And then you do God's work. And some of you at your job, you're in marketplace ministry. We're all in some type of ministry. I'm sorry, we are. Marketplace ministry means that if we hung out with God and we were at the feet of Jesus, then we're ready for what God wants to do in our life. Many, many stories. I'll save some for the end. But anyway, it's just amazing what God can do in our life if we're a vessel, transparent. Lord, have your way. Have your way in my life. I know what it's like to not be that person. I live that way. And I still have to watch it because I'll still fall back sometimes. And I got to go with my tail down, so to speak, at the foot of the cross and say, Lord, it's me, you know. Like Peter when he denied Jesus. And what did Jesus say to Peter? After he said, do you love me, Peter, do you love me, do you love me? And he finally said, go and feed my sheep. Go. I'm commissioning you again. Go. You see, God never gives up on us. Okay, you have 30 seconds. Tell two people God never gives up on you. Do it. Get out of your seat. Tell them real quick. God never gives up on you. Get up. 30 seconds. 30 seconds. Do it quick. God never gives up on you. God never gives up on you. Hang in there. God never gives up on you. Yes. I'm sorry. I do things a little bit different. And my daughters always used to tell me, Dad, what are you going to do this morning that's really different? I don't know. But anyway, that wasn't in the notes, but it just came. It was very clear. God never gives up on us. None of us is in a hopeless situation for God. None of us. Society won't be transformed until the church is transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. We cannot do a heavenly job with earthly powers. Let me repeat. We cannot do a heavenly job with earthly powers. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. We'll get to those scriptures. I want to talk about when we do our own thing, it's easy to fall into sin, doing our own thing. And then we must practice, as a result of that, to come back to God, confession, repentance, receive forgiveness, and ask for a fresh indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and that is putting God back on the throne of our life. Did that make sense? Let me repeat. When we do our own thing, many times we're just operating in the flesh. We're going against God. I'm not going to say every time, but, you know, going against God. And sin creeps in. And so we must practice repentance and confession, and we receive God's forgiveness, and ask for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. And by doing that, we're putting God back on the throne of our life. God wants to be on the throne in our life. He doesn't want to be out there someplace. He's our Abba Father. We can communicate with him. He's given us his Spirit to dwell inside of us to confirm that he's there with us. So, we want to breathe God in, exhale. When we confess sin, we exhale. Breathe God in, confess sin, let it go. Breathe God in. We want all of God. Breathe God in and exhale. Control is a pride problem. Control is a pride problem. When we believe that we have the ability to rule over our own life, we are telling God, we don't need you. When we think we can handle our own life, we're basically telling God, I don't need you. I got news for you. We all need God. Not just on Sunday, not just on Monday, not just when things are going really hard. We need God every day, 24/7. So if God wakes you up in the middle of the night and you're complaining to God, you probably need God. I don't know what's going on, but maybe he just wants you to read a word from his Bible. Or maybe he wants you to pray for someone. Maybe he wants you to pray for your spouse or your children. I don't know, but there's a reason. Besides just using the room, there's many times a reason you're wondering, what's going on? There can only be one master in our lives, only one master. So will you release your control? That's an issue that affects so many people of all walks of life. Will you release your control and give and surrender your control and put it at the feet of Jesus and say, okay, I'm no longer in control. You're now in control. That's a huge step. People will say to me, yes, I will, but they take it back. Release your control. God is in control. He wants to be in control of your life. Waiting for the Holy Spirit power. We talked about that. We have often tried to enter our daily battles without the power of the Holy Spirit that God has given to us. How often do we find ourselves running ahead of God and then asking Him to bless our plans? To bless our plans. We're running ahead of God. Oh, Lord, you know, I'm going to make this purchase. And you didn't even check in with God. After the fact, you say, well, that seemed like a pretty good deal. And then you find out a neighbor was going to give you something. You know, and you say, wow, I should have waited. I should have asked God, is this the right timing? By the way, for those married, it's very, very, very important before you make a purchase or a major decision to be in agreement, husband and wife. It's very important. Because if you're going two different ways, it does not work. It is not healthy. I've learned the hard way of that too. So, not a word, Mrs. Hirschberger. But anyway, it's good to wait and be in agreement. That's very important. Have you been trying to win a battle before you have the power to fight it? Our culture says, okay, rabbit ears, rush, rush, rush. That's our culture. Zoom, zoom, zoom. You try just driving down 283 or 222 during rush hour, you'll see what happens. You know, cars do strange things. They go zooming down and go across two lanes and cut right in. Rush, rush, rush. You know what God's saying? Rest. Rest. Now, I know you go through your day and everything. You're on, I call this schedule mode. You know, you're on a schedule. You got to do this and that. And I was there, you know. But sometimes, God, you get stuck in traffic, so to speak, or something doesn't work out. And instead of complaining, you know, just, oh, this is my time with God. Thank you, Lord, for changing my schedule. What do you have for me? Who should I be praying for? You know, always redeem the time. Because the Bible says the days are evil, so redeem the time. What do you want me to do? Then wait, be quiet, and listen for God. Will you slow down this week and listen to God? Will you do that? Just a question to take with you. Or you could rephrase it back as a prayer. Lord, help me to slow down this week so I can have time with you. And He'll give you that time. Maybe for some of you, Lord, help me to be patient. And be careful about that. If you pray that, He'll make sure that He's working on that in your life. Patience. So be careful what you pray for, but be sincere, and God will help you out. God is saying to each one of us, wait, wait for me. Wait for the fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Wait for the power. Wait. In Psalm 40, verse 1, I'm going to read some scriptures up here. They're up there. Psalm 40, verse 1, here's what the Bible says. Psalm 40, one verse. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and heard my cry. And then the next scripture, Luke 27, 14. Luke 27, verse 14. One verse, verse 14. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. And then Luke 24, 49. Luke chapter 24, verse 49. Here's what the Bible says. in Luke 24, verse 49. Jesus said, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Wait. Because of the coming of the Holy Spirit to work within us, we no longer have any excuses. No excuses for not being powerfully active for God. No excuses. Jesus has poured his Holy Spirit down upon his church. I just looked on online, revivals. And I'm just going to read a couple things. Revivals in America. The guy who wrote this has Man in the Mirror for Men, Discipling. His name is Patrick Morley. If you're unfamiliar with him, I mean, get involved with him. He's got so many tools for men and discipling. Amazing. And then there's tools for women too. But anyway, the Businessman's Revival of 1857 to 1858. In 1857, the North Dutch Church in New York City hired a businessman, Jeremiah Lamphere, to be a lay missionary. He prayed, you ready for this? He prayed, Lord, what would you have me do? He asked for God's help. Concerned by the anxious faces of businessmen on the streets of New York City, Lamphere decided to open the church at noon so businessmen could pray. The first meeting was set for September 23rd, 3 weeks before the bank panic of 1857. 6 people attended the first week, 20 the next, and then 40, and then they switched to daily meetings. Before long, all the space was taken. Other churches also began to open up for businessmen's prayer meetings. Revivals broke out everywhere in 1857, spreading throughout the United States and world, sometimes called the Great Prayer Meeting Revival. An estimated 1 million people were added to America's churches. And as many as 1 million of the 4 million existing church members also converted to Christianity. In other words, 1 million, those people already gone, converted to Christianity. There is the Azusa Street Revival in 1906. 1906, William Seymour, an African-American holiness pastor, he was blind in one eye. He went to Los Angeles to candidate for a pastoral job, but after he preached, he was locked out of the second service. They wouldn't let him back in. He began prayer meetings in a nearby home, and the Spirit of God, which they called the Second Blessing, fell after many months of concerted, ready for this? Prayer. It all begins with prayer. How's your prayer life? I'm not condemning you. I'm just asking the question. How's your prayer life? Eventually, the interracial crowds became so large they acquired a dilapidated Methodist church at 312 Azusa Street, where daily meetings continued for 3 years, and on it goes. I'm going to read some characteristics of revivals. Common themes, all revivals. Number one, timing. Revivals emerge during times of spiritual and moral decline, which leads to intense prayer. People, in the United States, we have a moral and spiritual decline. We aren't where London is now, where Britain is, but we're going there. We're going there. Number two, prayer. Prayer. God puts a longing into the hearts of many to pray for revival. Number three, the Word. Prayer and the Word, a good combination. The preaching or reading of God's Word brings deep conviction and desire for Christ. And what, number four? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit takes people to a spiritual depth they could not achieve on their own. Number five, conviction. Affected sinners are inconsolable except in Christ. There's repentance. There's asking for forgiveness. And number six, glory for God. God receives praise, honor, and glory for bringing revival. And on we can go. But that gives you a little bit of a snapshot into what's going on in revivals. People, we need a revival in Lancaster County. We need a revival in this body. Okay, we need God to move in such a powerful way that when there's a prayer meeting or something going on, whether in your home or where, you can't wait. There's that expectancy. You can't wait to tell people what God is doing in your life, and you just want everyone to know. And that's when the neighbors are knocking. What's going on in your life? And then you get a chance to share in your neighborhood. God wants your neighborhood to be on fire for Jesus. Whether you believe it or not, I'm convinced he wants your neighborhood to be on fire for Jesus. calm down, Hershberger. No, I'm not going to calm down. Number two, we must request Holy Spirit power. In our text, the Holy Spirit power requires, number two, we must request the power. In chapter 3 of Ephesians, verse 16, the text says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Strengthen you with power. Only by facing our inadequacy will we come to a place of encountering God's sufficiency. Say sufficiency. Sufficiency. Our sufficiency is in Jesus. We have all we need in Christ, not in ourselves. We can try. I told you before, I worked with juvenile delinquents, I worked with homeless, and I worked with multi-millionaires. They had everything. So I had the whole spectrum. Everyone needed Jesus. Everyone needed Jesus. I mean, these multi-millionaires had everything. Everything, but they didn't have God. Everything. They had indoor swimming pools. They had, one guy had three golf courses he owned himself, and he had houses all over the place. I mean, it was just on and on, you know. But they were sad because they didn't have Jesus. We need a daily encounter with God and the Holy Spirit where God moves in and takes over in our life. A daily encounter with God. Can you say that with me? A daily encounter with God. A daily encounter with God. Your life will be changed this week if you have that daily encounter with God. Asking for God to just take over in your life daily. I guarantee you, your life will not be the same. But you got to take that step. You got to take that step. You know, Monday morning comes, you say, oh, nah, I'm too fearful. I'm not going to do that. No, if you're married, give each other the elbow and say, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's go for it. The whole family. The whole family. When God is in charge, the Holy Spirit is in control. A church without the Holy Spirit is a powerless church. No programs can substitute for His presence. I'm going to repeat something I know I already said at least once, maybe twice. We cannot do a heavenly job with earthly powers. It doesn't work. It will not be successful. You, where you work, have you prayed for your workplace that God would bless it? If you haven't, do that this week. Pray for your school, if you're a teacher, that God would bless the school, that there would be a spirit of peace. At Columbia, we had all-night prayer meetings, all night. Went all night, and the mayor would come to me and say, Pastor Greg, when you have the all-night prayer meetings, the police had nothing to do in Columbia. His testimony, the mayor's testimony. I'm telling you, prayer is powerful. So pray where you're working. Pray for your neighborhood. Pray for your grocery store. Pray for the clerk that you see on a regular basis. Don't be subdued and quiet. Let God just fill you up, overflowing, that He comes out all over in your day. It's worth it. Your life will be changed this week. The question is, do you want your life changed this week? That's the beginning of a new thing. God said, behold, I'm doing a new thing. He wants to do a new thing in our midst. I don't know what all it is, but I do know that God has given me pictures of what He wants to do. And He said, be quiet. Don't tell anybody. So, just waiting. No substitute for the Holy Spirit would enable the believer or church to accomplish God's purposes. D.L. Moody, the person who was instrumental in beginning Moody Bible Institute, he said this, and I quote him, D.L. Moody, I believe firmly that the moment our hearts are emptied of pride and selfishness and ambition and everything that is contrary to God's law, the Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. The Holy Spirit will fill every corner of our hearts. And he goes on to say, but if we are full of pride and conceit and ambition and the world, there is no room for the Spirit of God. God needs an empty vessel to fill. So some of you might need to empty some things this morning, which involves repentance and confession, and then do not leave until you're full of God. God wants to fill you completely. Number three, we must receive the Holy Spirit power. You know, we have to receive it. In verse 8 in Acts 1, it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." The filling of the Holy Spirit has to do with power for witness and service. We are even commanded to be filled with the Spirit. In Ephesians 5:18, the Bible talks about that. Here's what the Bible says, Ephesians 5:18. Short verse, but just so you have the reference there. I think we got it up here. Let's see. Oh, let's go. Ephesians 5:13. There we have it. Here's what the Bible says. It should be 18. It says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Ephesians 5:18. Be filled with the Spirit. And then the next one is Acts 4:31. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Here's what the Bible says. Verse 31. "After they prayed." Hey, people, listen carefully. After people pray, amazing things happen. "After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly." After they prayed. After they prayed. And then Acts 8, 29 through 39, I think I'm just going to have you read that this week, about Philip and the Ethiopian. It's amazing what happened, but have you read that this week. We need his power constantly if we are going to serve Jesus effectively. So, do you want your relationship to improve with your spouse, your children, your fellow workers, your neighbors? God wants to invade your neighborhood. God wants the relationship to improve with the workplace, people you work with, and God wants your relationship to improve with family. There's some people that I know, they don't even talk to each other. They're family. They won't even show up at family gatherings. They're family. I'm saying, you're family. Hello? It's time to put aside that junk and be the person that's willing to take the step and say, will you forgive me for avoiding you, for saying harsh things about you? You know, forgiveness is powerful, people. It breaks down walls. We talked about breaking down walls. Forgiveness breaks down walls. It allows God to just come in and take over. We have been created to be containers of God. He desires to pour his life into us and fill us completely full. And then he seeps out. And people wonder, what happened to you? What hit you? You aren't the same. What's going on in your life? And then you have an opportunity to share what God is doing in your life. God gives us the Holy Spirit to set us on fire for God's plans in our life. The Holy Spirit fire burns away the junk in our lives while at the same time increasing our faith. It causes us to make a difference for Christ in our families, in our workplace, in our community. I'm repeating that on purpose because God wants you to make a difference in your families, in your neighborhood, in your community, and at the workplace. We cannot be effective without the daily filling and overflowing power of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. There's some scriptures here. In 1 John 4:4, that'd be one to underline, because sometimes we forget that. 1 John chapter 4, way back toward the end of the Bible, after Hebrews, small book there. 1 John 4, verse 4. The second part of it says, "The one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." There's nothing that the enemy can throw at us that God can't handle. But he's got to be in us, and we have to be in tune with God. If we try to do things in our own strength, The enemy will take us down. He'll take us down. When Jacob wrestled with God, so to speak, under an angel, he didn't just let go. He hung on for dear life because he knew what was in it. Sometimes when hardships come, we let go of God and say, Lord, you failed me. You know, I'm disappointed, and I give up. And that's where the enemy wants us. But God wants us to come back and hang on to him. Hold on to the truth. Hold on to the one who is our mighty God, King of kings, Lord of lords. Hold on to the one who is our everlasting God. When God is in charge, the Spirit is in control. Only by facing our inadequacy will we come to a place of encountering his sufficiency. And Pentecost was an encounter with God. An encounter with God. God moved in and took over. Pentecost means God is in charge. When God is in charge, the Spirit is in control. God wants to fill empty vessels. The Holy Spirit is like our, shall I say it, our built-in GPS. Okay? You know what GPS is. It's like our built-in GPS. He gives us clear direction in our daily life. Okay, what now, Lord? Where do we go? When possible, make a U-turn. Some of us need to hear that because we're going the wrong direction. And we got to make a U-turn and go back to where God wants to be. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, the Bible puts it like this. Romans 15, one verse, verse 13. Here's what the Bible says. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you get that? Overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Some of you are really having a rough time in life right now, and you need to hear that. We need to overflow with the power of the Holy Spirit, with hope. We serve the God of hope. Say God of hope with me. God of hope. We serve the God of hope. He understands. He knows what we're going through. He's not ignorant of our situation. He knows what we need. He knows that Raymond needed 1 year. You know, some of us are in that spot. Lord, I'm looking for a job, or my workplace is going to close, or, you know, all these things going on. God knows. He knows what's going on in our life. Give it to Jesus. Give it to the Lord. Number four, fourth thing required, response to the Holy Spirit power. There has to be a response. To him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So I say, bring your marriage to the feet of Jesus. Ask the Holy Spirit to bring healing and health to your relationships. It begins with putting to death my words, I will change my spouse, and replacing it with, Lord, change me. Lord, change me. Help me to be your vessel in this marriage. I choose to die to my own way of fixing this relationship, and I surrender to your way of healing and restoring this marriage. I figured out the first year of our married life, I couldn't change my wife. Profound truth. I cannot change my wife. So I just didn't try to change her anymore. I thought, okay, Lord, she's all yours, you know. And I'm sure she was praying the same thing for me. You know, it's back and forth, back and forth. And God was refining both of us. It's amazing what he did, because I thought, oh, Lord, you gave me a good woman, and she's worth it all. And anyway, I'll probably get a good meal out of that. But anyway, no, that's the truth. That's the truth. She's worth it all. She's worth it all. She can tell me if there's a guy that something is not right. She's got this other sense that I don't have. And she'll let me know, you know, that guy, I'm concerned about that guy. You know, maybe a guy that came to our church, or a guy in the workplace, or, you know. And didn't bother me, but I always have learned to listen to her, because she knows if there's something that there's something not right, something not right. The continuous aspect of being filled, you know, when the Ephesians says be filled with the Holy Spirit, from the Greek, now this is as deep as I'm going to get with Greek, but I'll let you know because I took Greek. It has the idea of continuously being kept filled. Continuously, every hour, continuously being kept filled. Not just a one-shot deal. The Greek tense says continuously being kept filled. It involves day by day, moment by moment, submission to the Spirit's control. And by the way, it's passive. For those English teachers, you understand that. It's passive, which means the aspect of the Greek tense indicates that it is not something we do, but that we allow to be done in us. Did you get that? It's not something that we do, but we allow God to do in us. In us. The filling is entirely the work of the Spirit Himself. He works only through our willing submission. Up here is very important. We can rejoice in past fillings of the Holy Spirit. We can hope for future fillings. But we can live only in the present filling. We can live only in the present filling. Tomorrow's another day. We've got to get filled again. Now, one of my daughters, I won't tell you which one, but I would different times have to use her vehicle to move it or whatever, or take it someplace or pick her up. And it was on fumes, I guarantee you. It was fumes. And I had this relationship with my children. Hey, you use the vehicle, make sure it's got enough gas in. You know, that's a father child relationship, and just on fumes. Well, we cannot go through life on empty. We have to allow the filling on a regular basis. We can't keep on driving through the road of life and just think that, well, God will take care of us. No, it doesn't work that way. We've got to be full of God to help us to understand His ways, because His ways are not our ways. That's the way it works. And so we can live only in present filling. Number five, remember the Holy Spirit power. That's the number five one. Remember the Holy Spirit power. The text is in Ephesians 3, 18 and 19. May have power to, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. Ready for this? Holy Spirit power sends the devil packing. Did you get it? Holy Spirit power sends the devil packing, leaving. He won't stick around because he knows he's powerless against God. A few examples of the Holy Spirit power in my life, real quickly. I show up Western Pennsylvania. I did Walmart freezer resets every year. For those that don't know, Walmart does freezer resets sometimes twice a year, but for sure once every year, where they get rid of products they don't want to keep, bring in new products. And the freezer aisle, all those doors with the ice cream and everything frozen, they all have to be emptied. And guess who was doing that? There were other people who were supposed to show up, and there's only one lady. Now, they usually have them early in the morning. This is at 5 in the morning. Sometimes there's 6. Anything after 6 is really late to do those things. But anyway, 5 in the morning, I'm at this Walmart for a freezer reset. I'm there. This lady comes. It's two of us in the Walmart aisle, right? And the person in charge, we were waiting on the person in charge. They weren't there. But you know what happened? God just settled in that Walmart aisle. I never met this lady. She shared her whole life with me. She was supposed to be dead. The doctors didn't have any hope for her. She had a cyst or something on her spinal cord, and the doctors said, we won't even operate because you'll be paralyzed for sure. And there's no hope. She went to Hershey Medical Center asking. She went to Pittsburgh. She went to all these hospitals, major hospitals, and no one would touch her until she went in Philly. There was a hospital in Philly, said, yeah, we'll try it. We think we can do it. She had the surgery. She was walking, she was healthy, and she was testifying what happened. I said, do you know that God just took over? And we had our God time in the middle of a Walmart aisle. Did I ask for God time? No. I was asking for help because I was looking at all the doors that I had to empty, all the ice cream and everything, and I thought, oh, Lord, this will be so long. I won't even get out of here today because, it, you know, you got to empty everything, find a place for it, and then the receivers, sometimes they say, we don't want it in our freezer, so I got to find a place for it. So anyway, but God settled in there. Our move, we moved the past year, and Lois and I were praying for 2 years, for, Lord, what house do you want us to have? What house? We'd look at houses, and one of us would say, no way. House to house. Finally, we went to a house, and we thought, this is it. So we gave an offer. We had the first offer in the house, and then someone gave another offer, and it was higher than our offer. So the realtor said, hey, you know, someone had a higher offer. But he said, the seller wants us to buy it. We never met the seller. We didn't know the seller. We were praying. God wanted us to have the house. And so the seller and the realtor we were working with said, hey, things are happening in your real estate deal that they don't happen in the realty business. They don't happen. The sellers wanted to meet with my wife and I to explain the house, the heating and all. It's complicated. But anyway, wanted to explain everything. And he said, this doesn't happen. And so we met with the sellers. Now, I'm giving you a brief story, but it's amazing what God did in just our moving. The neighbors came over, and they were, you know, giving us goods and introducing themselves. And then the seller, the man, he said, you know, he's got this sickness, and he's not sure he's going to make it, and he has to be in Florida for other, you know, at the hospital. And my wife and I, we looked and I said, would you mind if we'd pray for you? I think that was the first prayer he ever had. And we were praying for him, and I have no idea what God did, but we, you know, God settled right there at the new house. And then we haven't seen him before, he just took over. Did we ask for that? No, but we wanted whatever God wants, and that's what he wanted. Something just happened to me that I can't explain in the last 5 years. When the presence of God settles in a place, I get goosebumps all over. I didn't ask God for that. My wife is my witness. I don't understand it, but God just settles in. I can walk into a situation, I can tell you if God's presence is there, because I get goosebumps all over. And his presence is here this morning. Goosebumps all over. It's just amazing. And I didn't ask for it, but it happens. Two other things real quick. We were at a church meeting, and there was reconciliation. God was moving in a powerful way. There was forgiveness. All that was happening. And then I opened my eyes during prayer. I don't often do that, but I just felt like I needed to do that. And the windows were closed. Obviously, there was no wind, but the curtains were moving back and forth. How do you explain that? I just think of it as a wind of the Holy Spirit, because God was pleased with what was going on. There is a celebration by the curtains. You know, there's movement. The last thing, at Columbia, there was a couple that came. We had all kinds of people that would come and go. There's a couple that came, and she wanted prayer, so I began praying for her. She went straight down to the ground, and she was squirming, shrilly cries, and all kinds of noises were coming out, and I was praying that she would be... that any evil spirits in the name of Jesus would leave, and they'd leave the place. And all this was going on. It happened for I don't know how long. I was just praying. I kept on praying until she calmed down, and then she was very peaceful. And the congregation didn't know what was going on, but I know they were praying. Did I ask for that? No. You have no idea what God's going to do in your life until you open yourself up to him. So I'm done. There's more, but I'm done. I just invite the worship team to come up, and I invite you. I'm praying this altar would be full this morning. I just know that God wants to do something in your relationships, in your life, in your marriage, whatever it is. Some of you might need to come up here as couples and just do business with God and just cry out for the fresh filling of His Holy Spirit in your marriage, in your family, in your home, just to take over in all that God wants to do. I have no idea, but I'm just being obedient to God. I know that God wants to move you closer to Jesus. And so don't give up on God. If you've given up on God, it's time to get back and restore your relationship with God. If you've had a tough time in life and you aren't certain what the next step is going to be, it's time to come up and say, I'm willing to take a risk, Lord. I'm taking a step with you. Help me out. I have no idea. And so whatever you're facing in life, I'm here to tell you the power of the Holy Spirit is for you. If you want special prayer, I'm happy to do that. If you just want to hang out with God and pray, that's fine. Whatever God wants in your life, just obey. Make it simple, obey. I didn't give you complicated words. The message of Jesus is simple. You need Jesus. You need the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit, but you want to be overflowing with God so that God can take care of you whatever situation you're in. Give God a chance in your life this week. It begins now. Let the river flow in this place. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Just ask that you would do your work. Minister to people now as they come forward. Have your way. I choose to step aside, Lord. Do your work. Jesus, be the center of all that you want to take place. The altar is open. You can go in the front row if you'd like. The cross is open. Give God a chance in your life. I desperately, desperately, desperately want you to get closer to Jesus beginning today. Give God a chance in your relationships. Some of your relationships are unhealthy. You need God to go right in the middle of it and deal with some things. Let God have His way. I know it works. I'm a testimony to that. I know what God wants to do. Let God be God.
Spirit, break out. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. King Jesus, you're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and skies. Revival, we want to see your kingdom. See your kingdom here, King Jesus. You're the name we're lifting high. Your glory shaking up the earth and skies. Revival, we want to see your kingdom here. We want to see your kingdom here. Spirit, break out.
Dismissed. Those that want special prayer, feel free to come up. I just ask that when you leave quietly and allow for God to continue His work. You are